Please join me in prayer. Father, quiet me and speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Probably many of you know that for 37 years before I became a pastor, I was a teacher. And one of the things I enjoyed most about that job, and that I likewise enjoy about this profession, is having those one-on-one meetings with students or parents. And usually 4 or 5 times a week, I am privileged to get together with a young adult or with an adult from the church or with a pastor friend of mine and have breakfast or lunch. And the interesting thing is most of these people are from a variety of denominations. Just the other day I was meeting with a Baptist friend of mine who was actually brought up Catholic, but very much his theology lines up with the Baptist church. But one of the things he shared with me was that he misses from his Catholic upbringing some of the ceremonies and some of the attributes of the Catholic Church. And he admitted to me that occasionally on a Saturday evening, he will attend a worship service at a Catholic church. And I asked him, I said, what was it about the experience that you felt God's presence? And he said, well, you know, the incense, the candles, the statues, you know, I know those things. I don't worship those things, but they just seem to put me in a mood where I can experience God's presence. And the other day I met with a young adult who is Catholic, and he admitted to me that he felt God's presence when he would go to a Protestant megachurch, because he said, you know, I really enjoy the music, and the music is different from week to week. One week they may have a gospel choir, another week they may have a praise band. You know, I really feel God's presence when I go there. And then a friend of mine who does attend a megachurch told me that he really longs for the Presbyterian style of worship, where everything is done decent and in order, maybe sometimes too decently and in order. But meeting with a friend of mine who is Presbyterian, he admitted that he really feels God's presence whenever he attends a Pentecostal church. And while he doesn't speak in tongues, he said, you know, people seem to worship with reckless abandon, and he really enjoyed that. So if we really confess to each other, I think we all really like that aha moment. Most of us long for experiential teaching and learning and worshiping. We desire a direct encounter of God's presence in our lives. We're all looking for that God moment. You know, and if we're really truthful with each other, we have these God moments all the time. The thing is, maybe we don't allow ourselves to experience them because we're afraid of what God is going to say to us. Now, God can make his presence known in a variety of ways. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, we have a number of dramatic ways God has made his presence. When you think of Moses and the burning bush, where God actually speaks to Moses, and besides telling him he's on holy ground, he tells them, I'd like you to go to Pharaoh and to ask for Pharaoh to let my people go. If you think of the story of Jonah and the whale, where Jonah is visited by God, and God tells Jonah, I want you to go to evil Nineveh, and I want you to preach to those evil people. And of course, as we know, Jonah goes in the opposite direction and gets into a rather a big whale is what he gets into. And then Saul on the road to Damascus. When you think about it, Saul was persecuting Christians, and Jesus actually spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" God can also make his presence known in more subtle ways. Many times we feel close to God when a prayer is answered. Sometimes God speaks to us through an individual. And when I was preparing this message, I had down the word through a Christian individual. But I have to admit, probably one of the times I felt God speaking to me in a really clear, strong voice was through a friend of mine who's a Hindu. And the reason I felt God speaking to me is because he told me that back in India, they would be visited very often by Christian missionaries. And the Christian missionaries would offer them something, something that they needed really badly, such as a well for the community, but would offer it always with the requirement that you first believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he told me, he said, you know, coming to the United States, it was the first time, and he's attended this church before, he said it's the first time people really reached out to him with no commitment, just with love. And he found that refreshing and actually has come closer to a relationship with Jesus. God will sometimes place us in situations we know that we cannot completely handle by ourselves. They stretch us, and we feel God's presence. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, a verse from Philippians 4. Now, God made his presence known when the Word became flesh. And when you think about it, a few weeks ago we talked about Word. And to the Greeks or the Gentile society, word meant the principal reason that governed the world. And to the Jewish society, word meant God. So the word, God, the reason in flesh that governs the world, Jesus, was born. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord, from Luke 2. Now, God has made his presence known to us when he took on human form as Jesus. He came as, first of all, a perfect teacher. We learned how God thinks and how he expects us to think. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's from Philippians 2. Now, Jesus, besides being the perfect teacher, is also the perfect example. We can pattern our life after Jesus so that we know what we should become, how we are to live. And on top of that, he gives us the Holy Spirit as soon as we accept him as Lord and Savior. Gives us the Holy Spirit to help guide our lives and empower us. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And that's from 1 Peter 2. Now, besides being the perfect teacher and the perfect example, the third thing I'd like to lift up today is that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. The death of Jesus satisfied God's requirement for the removal of our sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And that's from Colossians 1. Now, God made his dwelling among us. And this is actually translated from the Greek and means he pitched his tabernacle, or he pitched his tent among us. When I think of our children when they were small, Jared and Alyssa, many times would want to have kids over for sleepovers. And I absolutely hated that because it just disrupted everything. So what I would often do is I would tell them, you know what, we can pitch a tent in the backyard and you guys can have a sleepover in the backyard. That way, you know, they weren't constantly fooling around or fighting or running through the house and interrupting conversations that Lynn and I were having or watching the news or whatever. Now, when we would do that, even though the kids would be in the backyard in a tent, they would want to, they knew that they were close to us, so they were good with that. But occasionally they would want to interact with us. So whether they had a reason to come into the house or not, usually it was to use the restroom. They would come in and say something like, you know, what are you guys doing? Or how's everything going? You know, just wanting to interact with us. Or they'd bring their friend in and say the same thing. Now, sometimes they wanted to be in an intimate relationship with us. So, you know, Jared, I remember especially, he was always the hungry one. He would jump on the couch between Lynn and myself and look at me lovingly and go, Dad, would you go out and buy us a pizza? Or, Dad, would you make us some popcorn? Now, God desires to be close to us. God desires interaction with his creation. And God desires to be in an intimate relationship with humanity. God sent Jesus so that we would feel his presence in our lives. You have felt God's glory through his Son if you have accepted all of his gift of deliverance from sin. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons, Galatians 4. Now you have also felt God's presence if you have acknowledged Jesus as God's one and only unique Son, your Lord and Savior. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Matthew 17. And you have felt God's presence if you have accepted the fact that Jesus has always existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And that's from Genesis 1. You have felt God's presence through the grace and the many blessings of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1. You have felt God's presence if you confirm that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And that's from Matthew 5:17. And finally, you have felt God's presence and experienced his nature and essence in a way that could be seen and touched in Jesus. I and the Father are one. And that's from John 10. So, where do you go to experience God's presence in your life? Start right out there with that little baby lying in the manger, the one who took on flesh to be our Messiah, our Lord, and our Savior.